What's up, everyone? Aaron Nagler here with Cheesehead TV, joined by a very special guest. It's Mr. Rob Demoski of ESPN. Rob, how the hell are you, sir?
Well, if I'm a very special guest, like, how do you introduce the really, really special guests?
No, no, sir. Sir, you are, like, at this point, you are, like, the grand, you know, old wizard on the hillside who, like, Yoda. You're like Yoda just guiding us all along our way as we try
happy to be here. I am.
There you go. Well done. Look at Rob came to play. All right. So Packers camp has started, kind of. I mean, yeah. We all know the drill. It's a very unusual offseason. Have you been surprised? I'll hit you with the COVID stuff up front because we know they got to deal with it, and so do we. Yeah. Have you been surprised at, so far, knock wood, how few guys have been put on the reserve list and or, I mean, even – been diagnosed with a virus that we know.
Yeah, I guess I'm more surprised. I guess there's only been one opt out from the Packers, I guess.
Right.
Not that I expected it to be a mass number.
Exodus, right.
Right. But I guess I thought, you know, once Funchess did it, which was fairly early in the process, I thought, boy, you know, there could be maybe 5-6 guys that do it and maybe even some key guys. I mean, you think about like guys who have families and have had children. Recently, what, it's Aaron Jones had a baby, Devontae Adams, they had a baby. So, I mean, not saying I expected both of those guys to do it, but there's a lot of guys that have, you know, situations. I mean, look, Geronimo Allison's obviously not here anymore, but he made the decision to do it. So, you know, I think it sounds like from the few guys that we've talked to so far is that the guys who, you know, have cleared all the testing and are in the building feel pretty – good about
safe,
their,
right?
Yeah, feel good about their chances of not getting it, at least now, while they're in the training camp mode, so to speak. Now, as far as I know, they're all at their respective houses. They're not
– right, they're not located anywhere.
Yeah, like now I don't know what they did with the rookies, guys who wouldn't necessarily have a place to live yet. They may be in the hotel like usual, but I know guys that have places to live here are at their homes, so – you worry a little bit for them if you're the team about what happens, you know, when they leave the facility. But so far, it seems like it's going okay.
What do you think about – it's interesting because you and I were just on the call with Devontae, and judging by his demeanor, and obviously he had that great quote about he has no problem being a hermit.
Hermit,
we heard from Aaron Rodgers yesterday talking about doing the right thing away from the facility. Yeah. Do you think the Packers are situated in a way – I mean, obviously, God, this is all – A, it's ridiculous that we're even doing any of this during a pandemic. But in the kind of landscape of the league, I would think the Packers are situated in a good spot because they have veteran guys like Devontae and Aaron Rodgers who aren't known to be out and about. They're known to be homebodies. Both of them admitted to exactly that.
Yeah.
So I would think that leadership should help. Now, obviously, you're not going to be able to stop guys doing whatever they're going to do, but I would think that helps in some regard.
I thought you were going to say because of where they're situated on the map.
And well, there's that as well. Devontae breaking some news. I guess there's some new clubs in Green Bay that I'm not aware of. Or?
One new club did open last year. I don't think it's quite my style.
Not your speed?
Yeah, it's not St. Brendan's Irish Pub or Fox Harbor.
Fox Harbor, of course,
or Nicky's,
right?
Or Nicky's Pub in De Pere.
Hey, shout out to Nicky's. That place is
dope.
Yeah.
So – look, all of that helps. I mean, you know, this is not a big nightlife city. That's not to say we don't have a lot of great things to do here. Is, you know, I'm
going to get letters from the Chamber of Commerce, Rob.
Yeah, so I feel like, I mean, I grew up in the Chicago area, as a lot of people know, but I've been here 23 years, and I'll be the first to defend, you know, Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin as against the stereotypes. I remember telling my buddy Barry Sferluga, who came to town, he works for the Washington Post. He came into town, I think it was the Super Bowl year, to do a whole Green Bay type story around. Right. I go, do me a favor, don't do what all the national guys do and portray it as a one stoplight town. Well, he called the Department of Transportation and found out and put this in his story.
No, he didn't.
They were like 370 signalized intersections is what he said. He did it just to
put it on. Yeah. That's so great.
But look, there is plenty to do here if you want to do that.
Right.
There's also, you know, we know guys for years have been going to Milwaukee on the off days. I mean, even going to your hometown of Appleton on College Avenue. So there is plenty to do. I do think it helps that they've got some older established guys. You know, even the guys who are typical partiers, I mean, like, you know, back in the offensive linemen, I mean, those guys used to get after it. Even
TJ Lang springs to mind back when he was a rookie. You know?
All those, but even like Bakhtiari, who clearly likes to have a good time. I mean, he got engaged this offseason. You know, he's been through his, you know, he's not a young guy anymore.
Right.
I couldn't tell you. I used to be able to tell you where the guys went, you know, back in the day. I don't know that I could tell you where they go now, but it doesn't seem as, you know, maybe wild as some of the other players, other locker rooms in the past, both here and in other places.
Yeah, and then you kind of spread that out to the coaching staff, to everybody in the facility, and everybody's mentioned this. How much do you think, and then trying to steer this now into football, how much do you think the Packers benefit from all of the continuity they're going to have heading into year two with LaFleur, not just system-wise, but, I mean – a lot of the people are the same, whether it is the roster or the coaching staff. There's not a lot of turnover in Green
Bay. Yeah, I wouldn't want to be a team that either A, had a new coaching staff, or B, had a new quarterback or new play caller, new coordinator. I mean, you know, they're lucky this is LaFleur's second year. Now, the one thing is, as you know, Aaron, like, there was a lot of stuff that they probably wanted to get to this offseason. I keep going back to that press conference when we're sitting in San Francisco after the NFC Championship game, and Rodgers talking about how much they just didn't get to with the up-tempo stuff in the offense, and how Goody said after in his season wrap-up thing, or maybe it was at the combine, I can't remember, said he's really looking forward to seeing Aaron and Matt work together this offseason, year two. So not only did they not get that, but then he went on.
Got his replacement, the eventual successor. Okay, let's talk about that real quick, because obviously it is the headline of the offseason. Right. It was funny, I was talking in my chat this morning. Somebody was asking why all these other teams get so hyped up in the offseason comparative to the Packers. And my thing was, it's, you know, the Packers don't generate a lot of headlines, usually. Yeah. Usually it's they draft and develop. They are not huge in free agency. Obviously they were last year, and you saw a lot of headlines. But this offseason, the one driving narrative is the selection of Jordan Love.
Yeah.
If you had to game it out, and I know this is all stuff we got to watch play out, but do you suspect it's like 2 years and the transition happens? Do you think they have either that or another plan in mind? Or is it very much, do we take them at their word that, look, we just love this kid and we wanted him for whenever?
Yeah, look, they don't take him if they weren't thinking about the future. It wasn't just, oh, this guy fell into our lap. I mean, this was a plan. But look, one theory, and this could be just completely cockamamie in my mind, but if they really, let's just say for argument's sake that they think Rodgers will play four more years, this sort of gives them two cracks at his replacement, because now they're not going to get a preseason this year, but let's say they thought they were going to get a couple of preseason. Let's say they had this preseason, next preseason to figure out whether Love was the guy. And let's say they decided he wasn't and Rodgers was still playing well. Well, now maybe they have another draft to try to find that guy. I mean, again, this could be – maybe it's an unintended consequence of doing it, or maybe they thought doing it early gives us two cracks at it. Or maybe I'm, you know, just been holed up in my office too long and that's just absurd.
No.
But it is one thing to think about. You know, I know Corey doesn't want us to ask every guy we get.
Bob, you ask whatever you want to ask. You don't worry about Banky. Don't worry about any of that nonsense. I'll take care of Banky.
I did think it was important to ask a couple of guys, Adams being one of them, who's close to Rodgers, has been with them. You know,
he's been his right-hand man now for how many years?
Exactly. And I'm not going to read the whole long quote, but I tweeted it. I thought it was a really good, thoughtful answer by Adams on how he thinks Rodgers, you know, will react to it. So Devontae Short basically said, I don't care if they brought Julio Jones in here. It wasn't going to change, you know, my approach.
How I prepare. And I think, I buy him on that, too. I think.
But on the flip side, I've had plenty of people tell me that they think it's going to light a fire under his ass.
Here's the thing. Here's my thing with this, okay? It's like everyone keeps – I keep getting hypotheticals in all my chats about what if Rodgers does this and what if Rodgers does that? What if Rodgers goes ham? And you heard Devontae just now talk about, we could have an MVP-type season. When are people going to come to grips with that Aaron Rodgers is gone? Like, there's a reason they drafted Jordan Love. Like, I'm not saying they can't win with Aaron. Of course they can. They won a boatload of games with him last year.
Right.
But expecting the run-the-table version of Aaron Rodgers to return, I think, is foolish. Right.
Look, here's my whole thing with Rodgers and where he's at in his career. I don't think the skill level has diminished. I really don't. I don't think the arm strength
For the most
has.
Part, no, I agree. And I think the one thing you could say is probably fallen off a bit are his legs. As far as getting outside, running away from defensive ends. That's the one physical thing you could point to.
But I think we also will both agree that his play has declined, that his production has
declined. Very much agreed.
But I don't – maybe I'm in the minority here, but from everything I've watched of him and observed of him, I don't think the problem is here in the arm. I think the problem is here.
Couldn't agree more.
So, but you can get this right. I mean, you know, I think to a degree he did last year in the sense that I thought maybe it was his best leadership by example year in a long time because, you know, we didn't know how he was going to go with a new coach and how he was going to react to a guy that's basically his age and his resume might have been a little flimsy in terms of a head coach. But one thing, you know, he did was he bought in and he set an example for those guys. So that makes me think that, you know, this part of it might still be able to be, you know, curtailed.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it gets unlocked. I mean, unfortunately, obviously, they haven't had an offseason on a field to start doing any of that.
I mean, we lived through the Favre. When Favre threw 29 picks in 2005, I wondered if he could ever get it back. And 2 years later, he had only
McCarthy comes in, and 13. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, there's that. I'm not willing to say it's not possible.
Well, it's funny, too. I think you're spot on when you talk about how, for whatever reason, and we've heard Kurt Warner opine about this a few times over on NFL Media, about just not trusting what you see. And you've heard Troy Aikman on broadcast. And, you know, Packers fans hate it, and they want to burn down their televisions. But he's right where you hear – I was just rewatching the Seattle playoff game where he's got – I can't remember who it is. I think it's Aaron Jones on a slant. Oh, and the NFC Championship game as well. He's got these outside guys, these in-breaking routes, and, of course, it's something about the middle of the field that seems to have shied away from recently.
Right.
But Aikman's out there opining into a microphone for everyone to hear. It's like, I don't know why Aaron's turning that down.
Yeah.
And you've seen that way too much recently. Oh, so I agree. I think that is a mental.
Right. I don't really think there's a significant physical decline, which then, in theory, should give the Packers hope that there is still – a couple of more, two, three more, maybe even four good years left in them. We'll
possibility
see.
Of domination. Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball. I'm talking to Rob Demosky from ESPN, who is an absolute legend, not only here on Cheesehead TV, but for any Packers fan who consumes media anywhere in the world. All right, so Mike Pettine got his squad steamrolled in the NFC Championship game, as we all saw. It's been talked about all offseason. Ryan Gutekunst does very little on the face of it.
Right.
To kind of give him reinforcements. Is this a – and they've added Jerry Gray, a former coordinator, is now on the staff. Is this a kind of turn up the heat, put up or shut up time? Because we think we have we have the guys necessary. You just have to make it work.
Well, that's what would be indicated. Because look at it this way. On offense at receiver, they didn't draft anybody and they fired the receiver coach. So that would tell you – would tell you that they thought it was a coaching thing. Mm-hmm. Now they didn't fire any defensive coaches, but they didn't add any significant talent either. I thought going into the draft that their two biggest needs were receiver and defensive tackle, and they didn't either. So and maybe they just aren't going to draft for need. Fine, they've got to figure out a way to either stop the run when they're in sub. I mean, they played more nickel than anybody, right, in the league.
More dime, too.
Yeah, more dime. That's right. It was dime. Yeah. It was more dime. You're right. Or simply play less dime. I mean, you either have to figure out a way to stop the run in dime or play less dime.
I pointed it out on Twitter yesterday. I mean, Kenny Clark literally laughed when I talked about how much dime they play. And you know that's got to be frustrating because he's out there. He talked about having to win these double teams and just it's on me. Right. It's like, well, at some point I would think could be given a little help.
The whole Blake Martinez thing about, you know, what my job was. And then you heard
What did you make of that? What did you make
of that? Well, I mean, clearly it was, A, defending his lack of big plays.
Right.
And, B, I think a little bit of questioning the scheme. But I bring that up not to harp on that, but because Clark said yesterday, you know, maybe it is guys, you know, have to do their job and somebody else,
something else. Yeah.
Which basically was a scheme. That was a scheme thing, I think. You know, a scheme. I don't want to say criticism, but a scheme point.
No, but kind of a pressure point. Maybe,
yeah, exactly.
You know, within the scheme, definitely.
Right. So, it's. You know, I asked Clark yesterday what happened, you know, if somebody tries to run it 40, and what the 49ers did by running it 42 times was, it's probably not going to happen, but somebody's going to, you know, try to run it 35 times. And, you know, we heard Patton say we picked the wrong week to have our wrong day to have our worst game. Clark said it yesterday. It reminds me of Lloyd Bridges in Airplane. Looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue.
Stop sniffing glue. Oh, my God, we're so old. Oh my gosh, like 90% of the people watching this are like, what are they talking about?
Well, then YouTube looks like I picked the wrong week to stop sniffing glue. And you'll find
exactly, and you'll find it. Where do you think they go as far as pulling out back and looking at the roster and looking at the contract situations? Obviously, a lot has been talked about Kenny Clark and possibly getting him an extension. Yeah. You got to think he's A number one.
I think Bakhtiari.
They have Bakhtiari, and then they have Aaron Jones and Kevin King. I think those are your big four. I think Kevin King is obviously the low man on that totem pole.
Now Corey Linsley too. I mean, although they drafted.
Yeah, but after this draft, you really think they'd extend him?
No, probably not. But one
and re-signing Lucas Patrick.
Right, you're right. One guy told me this offseason, good teams re-sign centers. That's what good teams do.
I'm down with that, man. I would love it.
So I don't remember this, but like back in – that was probably right after free agency sort of ended until late March, early April. I did a piece on ESPN.com looking ahead to those five starters, and I asked a scout and a position coach from other teams to rank them 1 through 5 and who you would re-sign – you know, most to the least. And the order went Bakhtiari, Clark, Linsley, Jones King. Yeah. King is like, look, if King has a great year, you probably can't afford him. And if he has another injured year or a bad year, then you probably just.
Then why bring him back? Right.
Yeah. So that's probably. And Jones.
But it's so weird because
I don't know what to make of the running back.
The Jones thing is impossible to me. I mean, I think you got it. You can't look around the league and come to any kind of real conclusion other than, don't overpay running backs. But then you see how important he is to this specific offense.
In that case, like, you're sort of damned if you re-sign him and damned if you don't.
100%.
I sort of looked at the Austin Eckler contract. And now that ended up being a little richer than I actually thought it was, but I think he's the eighth highest paid running back in the league. But similar guy who, you know, didn't get any kind of a big bonus because he was undrafted, right?
But I mean, that contract makes a world more sense than what McCaffrey got, you know?
Oh yeah, totally. So that's why I'm saying that maybe if Jones is willing to take an Austin Eckler thing to say, man, maybe
that's
he's
what you gotta
not,
hope.
You know,
but that's and that's the question, because we know we've talked to Aaron and he said, we've been talking.
Right.
There's been no indication on where they are.
Chris Cabot, the agent, has been pretty open about the fact that the dialogue has been ongoing. He's told me that a couple of different times. But if the dialogue was going that well, they would have had,
you would hear something, right? You would think.
The other thing is too, and you got to look at the cap for next year, you know?
I mean, that's a real
problem.
One
thing is, they're going to have to get deals done this year so that they can use some of this year's room to prorate, because next year's cap is going to be so tight.
I mean, how could it not be? Especially if they get any of these deals done. And that's what's kind of fascinating to me, as far as, like, guys as important as Clark and Bakhtiari sitting there needing to be extended. Russ Ball has got to make some magic happen with everything – all the unknowns. It's not even a question of, okay, we know there's going to be a pinch because of the revenue, et cetera, but to what extent and how do you account for that? As Gutekunst says, it's a big puzzle, right? Well, how do you make those pieces fit if you don't even know what the outline is?
Especially if you want to win now, you know, like, I mean, you know, like, it's, if indeed you have Rodgers for 2 or 3 more years, don't you have to, you know,
make sure David Bakhtiari sticks around.
Correct.
One would think.
Yeah, I mean, in that regard, as much as Kenny Clark is, you know, how good he is, that to me, you know, Bakhtiari is, if you're, you know, think you got a chance, then Bakhtiari is a must.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Especially considering you have no idea what the right tackle situation is.
Oh, I mean, look, well, we could go all day for that. And I was going to bring that up, but I'm like, there is no thing we can say at this point that hasn't been said all offseason that we can't project forward until we see these guys on the field.
I want to see some one-on-ones.
You love the one-on-one. You're a one-on-one guy. Just remember, you know, Kyler Fackrell beat David Bakhtiari the very first one-on-one 2 years ago.
Yeah, he did.
No longer with the team. That's all I got to say about that. All right, well, Rob, I will be in town in a couple weeks, God willing. We'll see. But when the pads come on, can't wait to say hi. In the meantime, make sure you check out Rob's stuff over there on ESPN.com. Rob, thanks a lot for taking the time, man.
You got it.